They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Another round of positive coronavirus vaccine news is boosting shares of AstraZeneca. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. The British drug maker and its partner, Oxford University, said today their COVID-19 vaccine candidate has shown a promising immune response in the elderly. The latest clinical trials raised hopes it will protect the age groups most at risk from the disease. Earlier this week, the U.S. Health Department said two coronavirus vaccines developed by Pfizer and Moderna may be authorized and ready for distribution across the U.S. within weeks. The BBC's Naomi Grimley has more.
These results don't come from the final third stage of Oxford's vaccine trials, which are still ongoing, but they're encouraging nonetheless. Not only was the vaccine well tolerated in older adults, but it induced a robust immune response similar to that found in younger volunteers. Oxford may be trailing the two other vaccine candidates, Pfizer and Moderna, but still, the Oxford vaccine is expected to be easier to manufacture on a worldwide scale than the other two. And together with AstraZeneca, the university is committed to making hundreds of millions of doses available to the developing world.
Naomi Grimley reporting there. Now, we've been looking into the complexities of getting a vaccine to the world. You can find all of our coverage under the Fast Track tab at marketplace.org. Well, despite rising hopes, a COVID-19 vaccine will be approved soon. Rising case counts and lockdowns around the world are helping to sour the mood in financial markets today. Here in Europe, key benchmarks are down around 1% this morning. Meanwhile, all eyes are on a virtual meeting of European Union leaders who will try to break a stalemate over its next budget and coronavirus relief measures. Hungary and Poland have objected to a mechanism in the budget that links adherence to the rule of law with receiving COVID rescue funds. The legislation must receive unanimous approval before any nation begins receiving money. European Central Bank Chief Christine Lagarde earlier today urged leaders to take urgent action, saying an EU-wide recovery fund must be operational without delay. Well, in Turkey, the central bank is expected to raise interest rates 5 percentage points today to try and tackle a double-digit inflation rate and the ongoing threat of a currency crisis. It's the first rate decision under new management. Last week, the president fired its chief and, shortly after, accepted the resignation of the country's finance minister. Piotr Mattis, a foreign exchange strategist at Rabobank, says this is the most important meeting of the year.
The central bank's credibility has been shattered, not only over the past 12 months, but actually over the past few years, due to the fact that the central bank has not been able to bring inflation closer to its official target set at 5%. So hopefully today's decision will be an important step towards restoring that credibility.
Now, the Turkish president has been extremely critical of monetary policy that guides other central banks like the Fed. He's called interest rates the mother and father of all evil and blamed them for high inflation rates there. This has been a battle, as you say, that other central bank chiefs have fought and lost. Will this new central bank chief be more successful than his predecessors?
Expectations are very high. His appointment happened in dramatic way, and I think it's reasonable to assume that Mr. Akbal would not agree to become the new governor if he was not able to convince first President Erdogan that it's important to raise interest rates to restore confidence and to stabilize the lira.
How do you think he got the Turkish president on his side?
I can imagine that Mr. Akbal explained that the strategy that was in place over the past 12 months of spending substantial amount of dollars to defend the lira is not working. And something needs to be done urgently to prevent the lira from collapsing even further and for inflation to keep accelerating.
Piotr Mattis at Rabobank, thanks for breaking this down for us.
Thank you so much for having me.
There's a growing business around helping you manage your online legacy long after you're gone. The BBC's Ed Butler explored whether the pandemic has accelerated our focus on what our digital afterlife looks like.
You probably won't have missed this one amongst the celebrity gossip of a couple of weeks ago.
Happy birthday, Kimberly. Look at you. You're 40 and all grown up.
That's the sound of a computer-generated hologram of the late lawyer Robert Kardashian, created as a present for his daughter Kim. It was, in her words, a memory that would last a lifetime. The hologram resurrection certainly divided public opinion on social media. The truth is the technology and artificial intelligence needed to create this kind of thing is well advanced.
We in fact have a feature called Future Messages that enables you to record a message to be sent at a date in the future of your choosing.
That's Tom Ainsworth, and he's launched a startup from his home in Melbourne. It's called Memories, and it offers subscribers a one-stop shop to memorialise themselves.
Traditional social media is more about the here and now, whereas this is far more for creating memories and perhaps a legacy or your own story in your own words.
His firm is just one of many. It's become something of a crowded market, it seems. There are other areas of concern too, though. Managing existing social media accounts after people have died can be a problem. Enter Rickard Stiber. He's an ex-Google employee who founded the legacy management startup Good Trust.
If you're trying to delete the unnecessary accounts, maybe you don't want to have work anniversaries from LinkedIn coming anymore, we can help close down all of those accounts.
Shutting down social media accounts is one thing. Extracting information is another.
If you want to extract those photos or messages that are not public, then you essentially get to have a court order. To be honest, I don't think it's sustainable to have tens of thousands of people getting court orders.
So maybe the lesson here is not to store your important data, like precious photos, only online. Dr. Elaine Karskett has been reducing her digital footprint to reduce stress long after she's passed on.
Because software changes, hardware changes, companies go out of business, passwords are lost, people lose the ability to access things.
So, a few potential solutions to the challenge of securing our digital legacy. And not before time, perhaps, since the global pandemic has focused many people's minds around the world on their own mortality. I'm the BBC's Ed Butler for Marketplace.
Well, are you bulking up or slimming down online? Tweet me your strategy. I'm at Victoria Craig on Twitter. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.